Good evening, everybody. I'd like to thank everybody for coming for tonight's Parsha Shir. We will have, hopefully, Parsha Shir for the next 3 weeks. It's not fully set yet. I haven't yet asked Rabbi Hartstock if he wants to come back next week. But, you know, just kidding. Once again, it's a great pleasure to welcome him. It's always great to hear his Torah. Without further ado, Rabbi Hartstock.
Thank you very much, Erev Tov. Thank you, everybody, for coming. what I'd like to focus on this evening, right at the top, why is the Bilam story so important to Chazal? So Bilam as a personality, of course, like very debated in Chazal. Talking about Bilam as a person. Bilam was obviously considered to be a Navi, and was he a good person or a bad person? And you see Chazal that really struggling with how to understand the character. I want to focus more on the text, because you see that there's something about this parsha that we're reading that has its own status in terms of how Chazal saw the text, which goes back to even the oft-quoted Gemara in Baba Basra that talks about, on Daf Yudal, that talks about, kind of gives a list of all the Sifrei Tanakh and who are the authors of every one of the Sfarim. So it talks about what Shmuel wrote, what Yirmiyahu wrote, what everybody wrote, and it says, it starts obviously with what Moshe wrote. So what did Moshe write? So the Gemara says that Moshe wrote Sifro, his Sefer, Parshas Bilam, wrote the Parshas Bilam, and Sefer Iyov. Those are three things that Moshe wrote. So forgetting about, you know, kind of analyzing what all that means and how does Iyov get into the Parsha, probably it might trigger in your head, and it should probably keep in mind as you go ahead that Bilam and Iyov were two of the people who showed up talking to Moshe at the time when he was Midyaetz, that Paro was Midyaetz with those people trying to figure out what to do. That's going to kind of come back. So there's something about Iyov and Bilam and Mitzrayim and Moshe Rabbeinu that somehow all get blended together. But for our purposes, I'm actually just noting that when you read it, when you note that the Gemara says that Moshe wrote Sifro, Parshas Bilam, and Sefer Iyov, so you kind of say, okay, I get the Sefer Iyov, whatever that means, and I understand the Sifro, that's his Chumash. What's Parshas Bilam and Sifro, as though that's its own kind of thing? And there's the rest of the Torah and Parshas Bilam, in a way in which the story of Bilam has its own status, and that opens up its own, and that's actually its own entire discussion, which is not going to be our discussion tonight. We're only kind of noting it, that even in those three phrases you see that Parshas Bilam somehow has its own kind of status and significance for Chazal. We see that in the context of Gemara Brachos, which is the one I want to focus on tonight. Gemara and Brachos and Daf Yud Beis and Beis. I'm going to read the three together first and try to unpack it a little. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avo Bar Zutrasi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvida, Bikshu Lekboa Parshas Balak B'Kriyashma. They're talking about what to put into Kriyashma, so it was kind of clear that the first Parsha and the second Parsha of Kriyashma make sense. It talks about Kabbalah Sol Machu Shemayim, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and Tzchar Va'onesh, and those vary. And the debate was what should be the third Parsha. That was already a discussion. And I'll just kind of jump that the lines right after the lines that we're going to read here, the Gemara says, and they ended up incorporating Vayomer, and the reason why they ended up incorporating Vayomer, and it lists five reasons why they incorporated Vayomer, because of all the things, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Hero Avera, and all the good things that make Parshas Vayomer into an important Parsha to read every single day. That was the third Parsha. But right before that, you have this Gemara, which basically, once you put those things next to each other, it almost like opens up in your kind of imagination. So, wow, can you imagine whatever that means, that whichever group of rabbis or whichever period we're trying to imagine, we're saying, okay, what should we say every day as part of Krishma? Obviously, like the Shema part, but what else is going to be included? And the Gemara, by juxtaposing those two, like what wasn't included and what was included, is kind of eliciting that kind of imagination, which, I don't know, when I read it, it makes me say, like, okay, if I would imagine a group of rabbis sitting around and saying, like, what should we include? I can get the Vayomer, but Parshas Balak, like, how, why on earth would that be? And yet, that's what the Gemara says. Says that was the thought. And then it says, Mipnei Mal Lo Kva'ua, so why, in fact, did they not, why did it not get included? So why, so even that, so you say, like, I don't know why you would include it. What's the reason why you wouldn't include it? The reason why you wouldn't include it is Mishum Torah Tzibur. It's really long. You gotta read like the whole parsha. It takes a long time to read the whole parsha. So that's actually a very puzzling sentence. Like, what's all that about? And you see, the Gemara actually struggles to try to figure it out. My Tama, what's the reason? So Ilema, if you're gonna say Mishum Dichsiv Ba'el Motziyami Mitzrayim, one of the things that Bilam, when he's giving his brachos and klolos, so there are kind of seven times that things happen, and he has three times where he's bringing korbanot and then speaking. So there you have this pasuk, El Motziyami Mitzrayim. So actually, that's a trigger. So why would you say that? Well, we know Yetzias Mitzrayim actually in Shema, those two things go together. So actually, we ended up putting Vayomer, that's about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this actually would have been just as good, El Motziyami Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, that's not such a good suggestion. If it would be for that, Yetzias Mitzrayim, so Lema Parshas Ribis Parshas Mishkolos, Dechsiv Ben Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are tons of Parshios, there are tons of Psukim where you find references to Yetzias Mitzrayim, including Ribis. Right, yeah, that idea of not taking interest is an example. Parshas Mishkolos, you should have honest weights and measures, is also about if you're in power, you can't oppress the people who don't have money, you got to be honest in business. Why? Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that makes sense. Okay, so then why this? Not because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ela Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Rezer Avin says why? Mishum Dechsiv Ba Haikra. Because you have this pasuk. What does it say in Parshas Balak? Kara Shachav Ke'ari. He crouched and lay down ke'ari, like a lion, uchilavi, like whatever the other word for a lion is, mi kimenu. Who's going to kind of rise up like the Jewish people? That's why. What does that have to do with anything? Any thought? Do I have to do anything? I don't know, you can just think. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. But that's what the Gemara seems to conclude. So then Gemara says, okay, it's like very long parsha. So lema hai psuka v'sulo. So don't say the whole parsha. Just say the pasuk. That would be good too. If that's such a good pasuk, so just say the pasuk. So Gemara's answer is, Gemiri, we have a rule. Called parsha de paska Moshe Rabbeinu paskinan. Every parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu started at the beginning of the parsha, end of the parsha, that's where parshios begin and end. The lo paska Moshe Rabbeinu, lo paskina. But if it's a parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't create that psucha or stuma at the beginning and end of a parsha, you're not allowed to break that parsha up. Are you familiar with this rule?
Yeah.
Well, there is a rule that we are familiar with, which sounds almost the same thing, but it's not this rule. Because the rule is called psuke de lo paska Moshe, not lo paskina. That if you have a pasuk, that you find a bunch of times in Shas. You have a pasuk, you're not allowed to split a pasuk in half. You're supposed to say a whole pasuk. So when you say Yom Hashishi Vayichul Hashemayim V'Arz Chol Tzvaam, because you like to start off Kiddush with Yom Hashishi Vayichul Hashemayim, because Al Pi whatever it starts with Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, and that's how you want to start Kiddush. So that's a nice way to start Kiddush. But you're not allowed to say half a pasuk. So therefore, Belacha Shisei Vayir Vayvokir Yom Hashishi Vayichul Hashemayim. That's a rule that appears in the Gemara. Called Parsha L'Paskia, Moshe L'Paskia, we actually break up Parshios all the time. We quote, if you just think of Machios, the Kronos, and Shofros, it's like, that's what the whole thing is. It's like you take a Pasuk and you say a Pasuk, you take a Pasuk, you say a Pasuk. This rule actually does not appear anywhere else in the Gemara. It's the only place that it appears. Now, if you do like kind of literary readings of the Gemara, whenever you have something like this, which is, this rule doesn't make sense, and it doesn't appear anywhere else, then that's like a sign. So, what's actually going on here? So I guess I'm going to stop for a second. Any just comment on the Gemara at all? Any thoughts? This is just like a kind of a check-in in terms of your internalizing what's going on here.
The question of Kiel Motziyah Mitzrayim, is that looking why they wanted to be Kovei Parshas Balak? Or that was trying to answer somehow the Tiferet Tzibur?
That's suggesting why they would incorporate it in. Why they would incorporate it in. Which actually, as you think you incorporate it, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is actually an important idea. Then it rejects that, says that's not the reason.
One of the reasons for filling the survey of Rosh is to show that the God, to proclaim to everyone that you believe that God is one, and almost like there's one of the Sumenisa, even like Kataka.
Yeah.
And when this blessing for Bilam, the whole thing of Bilam, is basically showing that God is with the Israel, and they will persevere, and they will triumph. It's very open about favoritism for Sanhedrin.
Okay, that could be. It's not, it's because it's a public, there's somebody who stood up, actually, was that, actually, if you start, it starts to remind you a little bit in terms of the, you know, when else did that, Yetzias happen, Yetzias, it almost like, if you think of Yetzias Mitzrayim in that way, then Parshas Bala can start to feel a little bit like Yetzias Mitzrayim. You had a king who was, yeah.
And we say about what happened with Bill is that there's a pasuk that says how do we know that God loves us? He says because He turns our curses into blessings. And so, but Shema is all about the Ahavta to love us.
Good, great.
So the Ahavta is related there.
Okay, great. So that's actually going to cut, not with that reference, but I think that idea is definitely going to come through. So I want to do a little bit of reading the, you know, I have like an interest in understanding what's happening in the Gemara and the Bavli by reading the Gemara and the Yerushalmi. So this is, and so there's, you know, very often when you're reading Yerushalmi and then read a Bavli off the Yerushalmi, you can say by the dynamic of reading the, you know, sometimes it's like, the Bavli's actually read the Yerushalmi, and then off of that, the Bavli became constructed. Maybe you'll see. You know what that means. It's very helpful to kind of read one off of the other. And although it's not a general rule, it can often be thought that the Yerushalmi or some version of Yerushalmi was there, and that the Bavli was kind of reading off of that. Although it's not always like an ironclad rule. But look at the Yerushalmi and Brachos. Yerushalmi was edited finally earlier than the Bavli, and the Bavli was kind of commented upon in much greater length and detail, and therefore was edited later. So the Gemara says in Brachos, this is basically the parallel Gemara, and it says like this: Bedinhu, the second source, Sheyu Korin Aseres Hadibros B'chol Yom. Actually, what should be is we should have read Aseres Hadibros every day. This line actually appears in the Gemara Brachos too, but a daf before. It says we should read Aseres Hadibros every day. So why don't we read Aseres Hadibros every day? Meitanas Haminim, because of heretics. Yomrim Elu Levadam Nitnu Lo Lemoshe Sinai. There is a complication with treating the Aseres Hadibros with its own very special status, because on the one hand, it's our foundational text. On the other hand, we don't want to make it seem as though the Aseres Hadibros is, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything else, no. For that reason, although we are meant to stand for, when you read Aseres Hadibros, the Rambam thought you shouldn't stand, read Aseres Hadibros because of this idea in the Gemara. So the concern was so great that even though Aseres Hadibros seems like that's something that we should read every day, they decided not to put it because of Tarom Asaminim, and some Sidurim you'll find that after Shacharis, it has Aseres Hadibros, so that's why it's there, based on this Gemara. After that, it says Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, and here I'll just ask you if you can kind of pay attention, read through, and see like what's similar, what's different between this and what appears in the Bavli. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Shem Rav Yehuda Bar Zvuda, Bedinu Shiu Korim Parshas Balak Ubilam Bechol Yom. The rule should have been that you read Parshas Balak Ubilam every day. Neimain Korimosam. Why don't we read it? Shlo Latriach Ala Tzibur, not to bother the Tzibur. Rab Chona Amar Mipnei Shektiv Bashchiva Vekima. Rab Yose Bar Rabbi Bun Amar Mipnei Shektiv Bahen Yitzias Mitzrayim Umalchus. The Yitzias Mitzrayim is in the pasuk that we mentioned before. The Malchus is, we say it, Hashem al Kavi Mo Usruas Melech Bo, that we say on Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Lazar, Mepnei Sheksuva B'Torah U'Binaviim U'Biksuvim. So actually, how many reasons are there in the Gemara for in this Yerushalmi? How many reasons do they have? Three. What are the three reasons? The first reason is, it says Shechiva V'Kima. Second reason is Yetzias Mitzrayim. The third reason is because it's written three times, Torah Neviim and Ksuvim. So if you just, anything that's kind of striking about, if you compare these texts, does anything like strike you, first off, in terms of the way that they're not quite the same? Well, what did the rabbis, what did Chazal think should be? What do they think? We had a Havamina that we should do the following. What did they think? No, on the Balak and Bilam part. It's actually a difference just from the get go, which you can. What does Yerushalmi say? What did they think? The rule should have been, what really should have been, is that we should have read what? First of all, it's called what? Parshas Balak Ubilam. Okay, it's called something different. That's true. B'chol Yom. What does that mean? I thought you should read it every day. What is that? You should read it every day. Actually, the our Gemara says a little different. What does our Gemara say?
Kriyashma.
It would imply more than once a day. It would also imply that it's incorporated into Kriyashma, which actually our Gemara doesn't kind of necessarily assume. Actually, let me take it a step further, maybe clear. Why don't you read Parshas Balak every day? Because Tircha de Tzibura, and if you notice, there are two differences basically between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. One difference is that the Yerushalmi says they thought you should read this every day. It's not to do with Kriyashma. They just thought you should read it every day. They actually thought, meaning when you think about it like that, you realize what's actually happening in Shabbat. What did they think? They wanted to incorporate Aseres Hadibros into Shachris. That's not a Kriyashma. You say Aseres Hadibros in Shachris. They thought you should also say Parshas Balak every day in Shachris. So this is not about Shema. This is just about, and when you think, again, this is, you imagine no sitter, and then imagine like establishing a sitter. So you say, okay, you should say Aseres Hadibros in the middle of davening. You should say it every day. But they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to give it too much prominence. Then they said, you should actually say Parshas Balak every day. But why didn't they do it? Because it's too long. So one difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi is the Yerushalmi thinks that you should say the whole Parsha. The Yerushalmi thinks you should say it on its own. And the second thing is Yerushalmi thinks you should say the whole Parsha, actually. If you'll notice, there's no kind of attempt on which part of it and why should you say it. It just says, what should you say? Parshas Balak Abilam. Why don't they do it? Because of Tircha de Tzibura. The Bavli doesn't seem to like, they say like, okay, you know, it might feel like nuances, it just like prompts my imagination a little bit of a different kind of way, I guess. The Bavli's basically saying, I don't think they were saying it should just be Parshas Balak. They're saying we should incorporate it into the third Parsha of Kriyashma. That should be the third Parsha of Kriyashma, and for a particular kind of idea. The reason why that's also like, again, a nuance of a difference of a Havamina is, it seems clear that in the Bavli they thought you should read one pasuk. There's some pasuk that you should say. And in the Yerushalmi, it seems like they thought you should read the story. Now that actually will give some kind of insight into like the why, like what's the motivating. So if I had to kind of sum it up in a kind of a paragraph, so it's, you know, just hopefully a little bit clear. This is what you get from the Yerushalmi. From the Yerushalmi, you get they thought you should read the story every day. They thought you should read the story every day. Why? For three reasons. What do we make of the three reasons? We'll get to in a second. The Bavli, seemingly, if you just read it, is actually not thinking that you should read the whole Parsha, or you shouldn't. That's not what's motivating. What's motivating is, it's almost like they're saying, whatever, I don't know, it's not about the story. It's about actually, there's some line of the story that actually is really important. It's some bracha. What is it? It might be Yetzias Mitzrayim. It might be Karasha Chav Keri Kalavi Mi Kimenu. That's what they think. They say it can't be Yetzias Mitzrayim. It must be that. And then because they don't think that you're supposed to recite the whole Parsha, but just a Pasuk, they think, they come up with this kind of unusual idea. They're saying, sorry, I feel like I'm not being clear on this point. I'm going to try one more time. In the Bavli, they say, you should read the whole Parsha's Balak. Why? Because there's some Pasuk in there that you should read. What is it? Yetzias Mitzrayim. They're probably not Yetzias Mitzrayim. That appears all the time. No, this idea of Karasha Chav Kariach Lavimi Kimenu. Okay, then why don't you just read that Pasuk? Answer, new rule that we don't find anyplace else in Shas, because it's called Parsha. Which means that the Gemara is going out of its way to not read this exchange the way that Yerushalmi reads the exchange, which is, they actually thought you should read the story. And then they said, I'm not going to ask you to read the story because it's four prakim long, it's three prakim long, and we're not going to bother you with it. Okay, I guess either way, you have to explain what actually triggered them to think that this was so important. The Yerushalmi, though, is more dramatic, basically. I mean, again, I was like trying to imagine reading this Parsha every single day, which the Yerushalmi actually thinks is important. And the question is, why? Sorry. So did you have something?
That's just a minor point. What's driving you to say Rav Bavli is saying it's to replace by Yom Kippur? Why wouldn't it just be a fourth Parsha?
Only because the way that these don't appear... you know, they note these, the way that these appear in the Bavli next to each other is not the way that they appear in the Yerushalmi. And so I'm not making, I mean, I'm just kind of quoting on this, but it's like they put, they didn't put in Balak, they didn't put in Vayomer. In the Yerushalmi, there's like something about where they put in Vayomer, but they said, you should read Aseres HaDibros every day, and you should read these things every day. So the suggestion is, and you can take it or I'm not sure, that the Yerushalmi is basically saying there were two other things they thought you should say in davening, they were rejected, and the Bavli moved that Gemara, put it here, and structured it in a certain way, saying they thought you should include this as a third Parsha Shema. They said no, and they put that instead.
Right. This being Parsha.
You can take it, I mean, you know, maybe not, but the juxtaposition is kind of striking.
Does they include this in Tanakh Megillah?
Yes. Yeah.
It's a major distinction, though, between the two. The Yerushalmi says Bedin, they thought it was a din. The other one thought it was a Boaz.
Bedin means means reason in Yerushalmi. It means it would be logical. It doesn't mean it's like a din in that sense. In the Yerushalmi, when it says bedinhu, it would have been logical to do that. Meaning they thought, based on reason, they thought you should do that. Okay, let me go. So why? Let's go back for a second. So what's the reason why they thought it was so important? So let's take the Bavli's thing. They'd say Karasha Chav Kari. Once we establish this kind of debate, okay, so what aspect of it is so important? If you take the Bavli, they're not assuming it's the whole story, they're assuming it's some Pasuk. And they're saying the Pasuk is not Yitzias Mitzrayim, because that's common. The Pasuk is Karasha Chav Kari Echlavim Yikimenu. So what do you make of that? What's the reason for that? So let's go to two options. One option is Rashi. Rashi on the Pasuk says Karasha Chav, the dummy libeshach bechav kumecha. The karash shachav kari yichalavi miyikimenu is shachav and kam. Like when you say shema beshach becha of kumecha, if you would have asked me, I would have assumed that Rashi's next line would be, oh, there's just some kind of rem, I guess, beshach becha of kumecha, shich vakima, so it's the same thing. Rashi kind of turns it a drop on his head and says, shakadosh baruch hu shomeinu beshachvenu of kumenu lishkav shlevi mushketim kari yichalavi. But the idea is not that Karashachav Ke'ari Chavimi Yikimenu, just like you say Shema Shachachav Kumecha, it's more like we say B'Shachachav Kumecha Shema, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'Shachachav Kumecha is Shomer Aleinu, kind of that kind of idea. That's how Rashi understands the idea. Okay, so it's almost like a parallel Shachachav Kumecha. The first two parashas go in one direction, the other parasha goes in the third parasha goes the other direction. This is Rashi in the Gemara, in the Bavli. Yeah. Different idea you find in the Medrash Tanchuma. So the Medrash goes like this: Hein Am Kelaviya Kumecha Aris Nasa. This is the other pasuk in Parshas Balak that it's different. Actually, it's not the same Karasha Chav Kari, but it's also in the parsha. And it says like this, and this is actually describing Am Yisrael as an Am, which is Kilavi Yakum, that we wake up every morning like a Lavi, like a lion, Ukari Nasa. Says the Medrash, Ein Uma Ba'olam Kayotzebem. There's no people like the Jewish people. They go to sleep. When they're going to sleep, they're going to sleep full of Torah and mitzvos. Amdu mishinatam, when they wake up in the morning, omdim ka'arayot, they awake like lions, chotvim kriyat shema mamlechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Jews do in the morning is they wake up and they are mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying kriyat shema. Nasin arayot, they become lions, mafligim l'derech eretz l'masa matan, and they go out to do their business. We can, you know, go on to this. So according to that, what's the significance of that Pasuk? The reason why is not, again, just to repeat, because that's the Bavli, the Medrash Tanchuma is following that thing as well. The reason why it's so important is not for the Parsha, the reason why it's not the story, the reason why it's so important is some Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? This Shchiva Vekima. What does the Shchiva Vekima mean? According to Rashi, it means some parallel. God protects, we daven to God, God protects us, B'shech B'chev Kumecha. According to the Medrash Tanchuma, it's all this direction, because what does the Parsha say? We should say Kriyat Shema B'Shach B'Chav Kumecha. So we say that in the first Parsha, and we say it in the second Parsha. And the third Parsha, we should have said this Pasuk, which basically says, what we do, the Jewish people, every morning is B'Shach B'Chav Kumecha. We actually go and say Kriyat Shema. That's why. That's, again, assuming that it's all about a particular Pasuk, and that's the nature. So according to Rashi, it's actually God-focused, and according to the Medrash Tanchuma, it's us-focused in terms of what that pasuk is actually trying to convey. So let's go back to Yerushalmi for a second, because what we've done so far is kind of compared the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, how they work off of each other. And we've explained two out of the three reasons. Why did they think that Parshas Balak should be included in Kriyat Shema? Maybe because of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maybe because of Shechiva V'Kima. And then the third reason is because it's written in Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. So what? Because it's written in Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. So you have to look at why, how it's written in Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, and that'll give an insight as to why they thought it should be included. And this maybe goes in your direction. So here are the psukim. In Dvarim Perkhav Gimel, meaning aside from what it says in our Parsha, what it also says is, you know that we're not allowed to marry people from Moab. It's a big problem, getting married to people from Moab. Why is it a problem to get married from people from Moab? So the Pasuk says two reasons. Al Dvar Shelo Kidmu Etchem Balechem Vamayim Baderech Tzitchem Mitzrayim Vasher Sachar Lechet Bilam Ben Baor Mibtor Aram Narayim Akal Lecha. The reason why you're not allowed to marry people from Moab is because they weren't nice to us when we tried to go into Israel, and because the whole Bilam story. What happened to Bilam's story? Lo ava Hashem Elokecha l'shmoa el Bilam, v'yahfoch Hashem Elokecha l'cha ta klala l'bracha, ki ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. What did God do? What's the story? What did God do in the Bilam story? The king wanted to do one thing, and God turned it on its head. If you look in Nechemiah, which is the Ksuvim version, what does it say? Ki lo kidmuet, same thing. Ki lo kidmuet b'nei Yisrael b'alechem u'b'mayim. V'yiskor alav et Bil'am l'kalalo. And Balak hired Bil'am to curse him. V'yafoch elokeinu haklala l'bracha. What did he do? God turned the klala to a bracha. Which basically, we're leaving out the Navi for a second, because the Navi is our Haftorah, which we're going to get to in a minute. But you definitely get the idea. What's the third answer in Yerushalmi? Why did they think it was so important to say Parshas Bilam every day? What was the thing? Because it's written three times. What is written in three times? This idea is written three times in Chumash, in Chumash, Navi, and Ksuvim, this idea that there might be plans that people have, and God turned them around for our benefit. That's the idea. And then you can say, okay, I kind of get that idea too. The reason why the Bilam story is so important is because here we have another leader who had a plan and God turned it on its head. Actually, it makes sense why Bilam appears in Mitzrayim and this some kind of Mitzrayim-Bilam connection, because this idea pushes you in a certain direction that maybe, and I feel like in my head, I don't naturally think of. I don't think of this story exactly in this way. But it actually helps push in the direction of thinking the story in the way. Bilam and Yetzias Mitzrayim are actually, Bilam and Paro are very, they're not similar, but they're similar. What is, you know, Paro has a plan, and God makes a public scene out of wrecking that plan. And Bilam has a plan, Balak has a plan, and God makes a scene of wrecking that plan, which is some kind of, that's why it said about the Malchus before, they are kings. And then there's God, because the kings have plans, and there's God who turns the plan on its head. That's the story. Now, these are three nuanced answers in the Gemara, but actually, you know, sometimes in class, like ask my kids if they can, you know, when you read the Gemara, it's like, well, packed in a certain kind of way. If you, like, took a step back and just, like, had to write it out in a paragraph, like, what's actually being said here? So what we said so far is that Chazal thought that this was a really important parsha. And the way in which Chazal thought is really important parsha is Ad Lekach, that they considered the idea of incorporating saying it every day, either Bavli in Kriyat Shema some pasuk that's really important, or Yerushalmi, you should say the whole parsha because actually the story is really important. What makes this so important? Three options. Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned there, which now we have maybe a little more meaning as to what that means. Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned there. It's written three times, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, which we also have like an idea of what that means, because it's like Hofech one to the other. That's like a big time story. And or because Shachbar Uvkamecha, which either means it's some kind of parallel relationship between us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or it's actually another kind of expression of us turning every day to daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it makes you kind of think, maybe, I don't know, that it's somehow culturally certain stories have been, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim is like a big, big story. And this sentence is saying Bilam maybe should be like his biggest, you know, in our minds, this should be that big a story. That's how big the story should be, because he had a king, he had a plan, it should have worked, and God turned it on its head, and made it clear. That's really important. Okay, yes. Yes, the Nevi'im, thank you. That's the segue. So, please turn the page, and it kind of, if you can, in a certain sense, like keep in the back of your mind, but shift mentally here, because I want it to connect back, but to be a little bit separate. The Nevi'im, the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, we read the Torah and the Ksuvim, the Nevi'im one is the Haftorah that we read. So the Haftorah that you read on Shabbos is from Micha. It's actually, you read Micha Perek Hei into Perek Vav. I'm quoting reading Perek Vav because that's the part that actually prompts reading this Haftorah for this Parsha, and because it's a very famous exchange that happens here, and important to read through. So what I'd like to do is read through this segment of the Haftorah, and what when reading a Haftorah, there's a way in which you read the Nevi'im in the context of the Nevi'im, like what does it say? And then when you put it next to the Parsha, it's amazing how you can put it next to the Parsha and then it means something a little different, even though it's actually the same kind of story. So I like to read the Perek Micha on its own, and then say, okay, well, what do you make of it when you put it next to the story, the Parsha HaShavua? So here we go. So Micha. Let's read... Michael Fishbane, our own now, who's in the community, has wrote a JPS volume on Haftarot. He has a commentary on each of the Haftarot, but he also has like a little explanation of what the historical context of every one of the Sfarim, Sifrei Nevuah, what it's like. So I took a little bit of excerpt. I'll read the first paragraph first, just, and then we'll go back to the Psukim and then continue from there. So he says, the prophetic career that's supposed to be an of, Micha, is thus contemporaneous with that of Isaiah of Jerusalem. Okay, so first just in imagining. So Yeshayah and Micha are contemporaries. That means they're living in the time of Ashura, the beginning, living in the 720s and 700s, like that period before the Common Era. And from the social critiques of, and therefore they have common nevuot, I think is the point. That there's a... that Yeshayahu's criticisms of Bnei Israel and Micha's criticisms of Bnei Israel are very similar. From the social critiques of Micha, on the other hand, we learn a great deal about the power structures of the time and the perversions of justice by the wealthy. Well, the same, much of the social reality riddled with greedy landowners and callous acts of extortion is precisely echoed in the diatribes of Isaiah. Yeshayahu and Micha are both talking about criticism of the Jewish people at that time. It's not about nevuahs of destruction and building and all those things. It's just about what life is like, what Jewish people are like. So let's read that with that in mind, going back to the beginning of Perek Vav. It says as follows, Shimunat asher Hashem omer, listen to what God is saying. Kum riv et teharim, which is a poetic way of saying, God is saying, present my case in front of the mountains. Kum riv, kum present my riv against Bnei Israel, and let the hills hear the kind of the attorney's claims against the Jewish people. Shemu harim et riv Hashem v'itanim mostei aretz. It's kind of this like hazino hashamayim v'aretz in the negative, right? Calling on the heaven, on the mountains, and the land. Ki riv Hashem imamo v'im Yisraelit v'kach. God has a claim. So this God's got a claim against the Jewish people. What's the claim? Ami, my nation. Masiti lacha. What have I done to you? Umahel eticha. And what have I done to tire you out? That you're so, like, you don't have any, you know, patience with me. Anebi. You should answer me. Ki ha'eliticha me'eretz Mitzrayim me'beit avadim piditicha. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I took you out of a house of bondage. Vashach lefanecha et Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And I sent to you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Ami, my nation, Zichor na maya atz Balak Melech Moab, uma ana oto bilam ben boor min ashitim aragiv gal man das titkot Hashem. You should remember, I took you out of Mitzrayim, I sent you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Usually doesn't appear like that, all three of them like that. And he says, and remember what happened with Balak. What happened with Balak? Mayatz Balak Melech Moav Uma'ana Uto Bil'am Ben Bo'or Min Ashitim. How do you translate that into the what's being said here?
The big two things are Yitzias Mitzrayim and forget about him. And
so first of all, it's like very, very striking that God has come into Am Yisrael, and the two things that he wants to say is, I took care of Paro, and I took care of Balak. Those are the two things.
Balak kept saying, curse them for me, and Balaam kept saying, you can only do what God tells me to do.
So our pipsha, meaning just on a straight, in terms of the nevuah and the way that it comes back in, what's basically happening is this idea. And it's, what did it say in the Torah? He had a nevuah, God turned it around. What did it say in Ksuvim? He had a nevuah, God turned it around. What's it saying here? The same thing that happened with Paro is the thing that happened with Balak, and that's why that's the connection, and that's the way that it's written in the Nevi'im in order to be able to make that point. Okay, so actually that just rounds out the answer that we read before. In other words, the reason why the Chazal thought this is so important is because it's written in Tarnavim and Ksuvim. So now we understand. What's Tarnavim and Ksuvim? Basically three times where that same idea is presented, that there was a plan and God thwarted it on our behalf. Okay?
What is the Ksuvim?
The Ksuvim was from Nechemiah on the other side. Yeah. That's the Sefer Nevuah anymore. That's considered, yeah. Okay. So, what I'd like to do, just last 5 minutes, is to try to, what was also kind of striking to me, however, is if you think about like the whole story of Balak and Bilam, and keep going in the Haftorah, and understand what's going on in this Haftorah Pipshat. Like what's the claim against, what's the claim, let's continue a little bit on the Maftor. What's the claim against, what's going on so far in this parak? God's yelling at Bnei Israel and saying, what's the matter with you?
Ungrateful.
What'd they do?
They're ungrateful.
It's actually not clear the sin's not clear. At least in this parak, the sin's not clear. It does say that they're, I mean, you're right, they are, but what does it mean to be ungrateful? Presumably being ungrateful means, I did something for you, I did something for you, I asked something of you, you're not doing things I asked of you,
no,
you're ungrateful.
Also saying that you've been hypocritical.
Which is what? Where? How? How
giving,
so?
Giving the sacrifices and not following.
Okay, so that's, so we didn't get, so that's the next... That's the segue. So let's go a little further. We didn't finish the parak.
It's also that despite whatever they did wrong, you know, you have to know what it is. God still saved them from.
That's true. That thing is exactly like the kind of way in which our head works in a certain way when you connect Balak and the Haftorah. But actually, when you read it in the Pshat, there's something else that's going on. It almost like play. Not that that's wrong. I mean, that's exactly what happens when you connect the Parsha and, oh, that's how that is like that. That's the same thing. But if you just read it in terms of the Pshat, actually, here in the Nevu, in Sefer Micha, basically is about God. Micha comes and tells Bnei Israel, you're doing things wrong. And you have to realize you're doing things wrong. And God's saying, like, you're ungrateful. Don't you realize I did all these things for you? Should have. That actually doesn't say so far what they did wrong, although in previous parakim it does. But it's going to come clear in a second. Because at this point, you know, there's no he said and then he said. It's just like, you got to read it. And the next pasuk is actually switches people. The next pasuk is, pasuk vav is Bnei Israel saying, Bama kadeh mashem, yikaf elokei marom. Okay, with what should I come forth to you? Ikaf means to be a kafuf, like subject myself to, you know, through what should I show my being subject to your power? Ha'akadmenu be'olot ba'agalim b'nei shana, should I bring to you all these korbanot? To which the response is, ha'yirtzeh Hashem ba'fei elim v'rvavot nachalei shaman, do you think God wants like carbonos and your oil? Do you think he wants your firstborn animals and all that? That's not what God wants. And of course, famous pasuk, Higid lecha adam matov. God told you what's good. Uma Hashem doresh mimcha, what he wants from you. Ki masot mishpat ba'avad chesed ba'atznei lecha dimel lokecha. We could do a whole thing on what the end of the pasuk is, because those are ba micha ve'amidon al shalosh micha keim and said there are three basic principles, mishpat, chesed, and Hatznei Lechadim Elokecha. In the context of the Sefer, though, the Sefer is like this. What's the criticism against Bnei Israel? you're unjust. You've forgotten what it means to be to use your wealth and your capacity to help other people. You've forgotten that. Let's go to Professor Fishbane's second paragraph. Overall, Micha's cry condemns the rampant injustice in the land, the intolerable iniquity of the rapacious and power-hungry, who dream of greed on their beds and rise to the dark deed come morning, that's Perek Bet, and the insatiable lust of the mighty who devour their fellows, Perek Gimel, or deceive gullible and trusting, also Perek Gimel. Society is undone, says the prophet, by those who make crooked all that is straight and who lull the unwary into illusion. This social evil overwhelms Micha to such a degree that we hardly hear anything about cultic sins. Micha is not mussar about doing aveiros. Micha is mussar about not doing mishpat and chesed. That's what it's about. And therefore, it's so ironic, because what's going on through all these prakim? Micha saying, you're not listening, you're not listening, you're not listening. And finally they say, okay, I'll listen. They finally, perek vav, pasuk vav, they finally say, okay, I'll listen. So what should we do? Should we bring a lot of karbanos? And Micha pulls the hair out of his head, saying, like, that's whole, totally not, no. I don't want you to bring karbanos. I'm trying to tell you not to bring karbanos. It's not a break about karbanos. So, I just want to say, the 2 minutes I have left, that there's something about reading the Haftorah al-Pi Pshat that generates a certain different kind of understanding, I think, between the relationship between the Parsha and the Haftorah. Because if you think about Bilam, Parsha is Balak. Like, Balak comes to Bilam. And what's Bilam, what does Bilam tell Balak to do? He has 7 rounds, but the middle 3 rounds, the rounds where he actually, like, you know, the first round, it's not happening. And the last round, it's already, it's already finished. But the middle, it's happening. So what does he tell him every single time? So if you look at the bottom, it's like striking. What does he tell him to do? 7 mizbechot and all your karbonos, and that's actually going to work. And then second time, also in Pasuk Yudal, even shiva mizbechot v'yal par v'ayavon zbeach. And then also, meaning this is times 3, 4, and 5. Then it says, in Pas, on the bottom, we're just reading the bolds. B'neili bazesh shiva mizbechot v'acheni bazesh shiva parim shiva ilim. There's a way in which you can read Parshas Balak, and it's actually very striking. What's the role of Avodah? What's the connection between Bilam and HaKadosh? Bilam actually has a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's like a soothsayer. So what's the connection of Bilam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You bring karbanos, so you get what you want. And then Bilam tries to bring karbanos, and God says, you're not going to get what you want, because that's actually not the idea of karbanos. You're missing the boat. This is not about using religion in order to be able to satisfy whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, and he thwarts that effort. When you think about it that way, then the pshat of Micha gives a very different kind of complement to the message of Parshas Balak, because basically what's happening is, you're doing the same thing. Obviously, you're doing the same thing. You think religion is about bring your karbanos because you're going to daven because God's going to give you what you want. You're going to bring your karbanos because God's going to get you what you want. You're Bilam. You're doing the same thing. Oh, I realize my problem. Let me bring karbanos. No. The idea is not to bring karbanos. The idea is to be asot mishpat v'avat chesed v'atznei lechem elokecha. That's basically the idea. So in a bizarre kind of way, which I don't think is like the pshat, this is not what the Gemara was driving at, or the Gemara is going in a different direction, I just wanted to suggest that the way in which the Parsha and the Haftorah work off each other is almost like highlighting the kind of ways in which you can view karbanos and understand religion in a way in which that's the wrong thing, we believe in the right thing, you're doing the wrong thing, we're trying to teach you the right thing. Last comment?
Yes, why? You said it was more comparing Balak and Paro. Paro isn't even mentioned in Micha at all. It's just Elusim and Mitzrayim. And maybe the beginning of Amisakor is like a separate sentence, a separate paragraph.
My time is up, I'm going to say. I actually like that. It's only because I think that a lot of people do the other thing, so I'm quoting that, but I actually like that, you know, that part of it. So that's why I said it first. No, so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's a lot of people pick up on the Bilam appearing with Paro Api Chazal. Not in the Pasuk, just in Chazal.
Next week is Rabbi Tapas. The week after is Rabbi Avi Heller.